What's up, everyone? It's Brian, the producer of The Mark Haney Show. I want to start off by saying I hope that you and all of your family members are safe during these uncertain times. You're about to hear an episode from our new daily webinar series called Power of With. We put this together in light of recent events. We brought together all of the experts in our community to help give you resources and action steps that you can take today in order to survive during these uncertain times. If you'd like to catch the webinar live, you can find it on our website, haneybiz.com, under the events section. You can register. We go live every day at 2 p.m. We hope to see you there, and we know that we can get through this together.
And we'll get this thing going, because I think if you look behind me, there's the stock market giving me a little confidence today. The yes, if, ... right? Anything is possible. I think in this day and age, or in this time, anything is possible if we keep calm and carry on. And over the weekend, I wasn't so calm. So I called my good friend Kim Silvers, who is the self-proclaimed HR nerd. For me, she is everything knowing in terms of our teammates and our human resources. And I was worried. And so I called her. And so she's here today to talk about, I think, the most important assets that we have in our company, our people, and how are we going to navigate this crisis where we try to stay alive in many cases, try to put ourselves in a position to come back stronger, and while loving our teammates. It's a tough situation right now. So Rick Spencer, the man I love, I cried talking about Rick the other day. I'm not going to cry, Rick. I didn't tell the audience I was talking about you, did I? anyway, why don't you introduce what's going on here with the Power of With series, and take it away, young man.
Thank you, Mark. And thanks to all the attendees that have shown up today. As Mark mentioned, this is our webinar series, The Power of With, something that we're doing to give back to our community of entrepreneurs and small businesses and business leaders in the greater Sacramento region. We've just had overwhelming support from our partners in doing this. We've been doing them daily, sometimes twice a day over the last week, and it's just been great. And when we, when the crisis started happening, everyone started having HR questions, right? Everyone wanted to know, what do we do about people? And we couldn't think of a better partner to invite to talk about the topic than Kim Silvers and Silvers HR. Silvers HR has been a community partner for Haney Biz, since the beginning, and just one of the greatest supporters of our community. We, as a business at Haney Biz, use Silvers HR as our go-to experts for our internal HR needs. And, Kim has just built an amazing reputation, an amazing team, and we're so lucky to have both her, as Mark said, the chief HR nerd, as she likes to self-proclaim herself, as well as Stacy Sommerhauser, who's the director of client services at Silvers HR. So you're in for a treat today. We'll be recording this, so you'll be able to share all this amazing insight with others. We do have a Q&A icon on the bottom of your screen. So anytime throughout the presentation, if you have a question, feel free to use that Q&A feature, and we'll make sure that we get to as many questions as possible or follow up afterwards. So without further ado, the stars of the show, thank you so much, Kim and Stacy. We're excited to hear from you.
Hi, well, thanks guys. good to be with you. I have to tell you, I asked Stacy to join me on this today. We are inundated with questions. I told Mark earlier, normally we have about 90% of the answers when our clients call. Our clients are employers that typically range from about 20 employees to 200 employees. We certainly have larger and smaller clients. And most of the time, we've dealt with the situation. Certainly with the coronavirus, nobody's been here, and there is right now the first law passed, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, that was, I think, written and passed within about a two-week period. Typically, laws take several months to several years, And boy, does the the lack of preparation show on this. So I would say Stacy and I and our team of consultants know maybe about 50% of the answers people are asking. We are talking to legal counsel every day. We are not attorneys, and I should just put out the disclaimer that nothing legal advice, but we're talking to employment attorneys every single day about how this law is to be interpreted. And it goes into effect on April 1st, no fooling. And so there's still a lot of information to come, but we wanted to share a little bit about that law today and how it might impact you, because if you have fewer than 500 employees, it impacts you. And so that's just, we have maybe a dozen clients that it doesn't impact, and everybody else, it does. So Stacy will kick in here. Stacy is absolutely a subject matter expert. Stacy, before we kick in, why don't you tell the group about your background, because you have more experience than you look like you do.
Thanks, Kim. So Kim and I, when we were talking yesterday about what we were going to talk about today, I was reflecting on my past when I was in home building and construction as a director of HR, and it really resonated in terms of what we're seeing today. The difference is people are getting sick. And when we saw the economic turn of 2008, there was the economic downturn. There wasn't the possibility of people being in the hospital and people being sick. However, we did deal a lot with what people are dealing with today. So that time, what reflecting back on that time and trying to understand what should we have done differently, what could we have done differently, helped us in putting some of the slides together for everyone today. So, one of the things that we talked most about was when we were laying off people in the home building construction industry in 2007 and 8, it was one person and then two people and then 3 weeks later, four people. And it was just this slow bleed. And it was very taxing on our people, on me, on everyone involved. And how could we have done it more effectively? And looking back, we tried to take that human component into it. But today, would we do it differently? Maybe a little bit. So that was something we were reflecting on. And, in all my time in human resources over the past 25 years, aside from that economic downturn in 2008, the only other time that I can recall is it's September 11th when those things occurred and HR really needed to be heavily involved in the things that were happening at that point. So those are two times where I can reflect back and I can see, okay, this is some learning back from those situations. This is a little bit different, but there's a lot going on today.
Okay, thank you, Stacy. All right, so let me put up, we have just a few slides. We wanna talk with you a little bit about the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. I've gotta figure out a shorter name for that. And then if we have time at the end, we're certainly happy to answer the questions we can answer. Then Stacy and I have put together a list of the 10 mistakes we see most often that CEOs make in the people side of a crisis. And so, if we have time, we'll share those with you. So let me share my screen and get started here.
Couldn't I have permission to be a little Marcus Interruptus today too? I won't do it too much, but I may jump in because I might, I can't control myself sometimes.
Of course, Mark, you may have permission. Okay, so there is another California, actually a federal law called FCRA, just one F, and it's the Federal Credit Reporting Act. But this is the FCRA, And you'll hear a lot about it as time goes on, and likely you will spend a lot of time between payroll and the checks you write and the payments you receive back around it. So just a high side today. There are several parts to this law, but we're just going to talk today about the two highlighted areas. One is the Emergency Family Medical Leave Expansion Act, and then the other is the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act, both of which will allow your employees who are impacted by coronavirus to collect pay, either partial or full pay up to a cap that the feds have allowed, and then allow the employer to receive an immediate tax credit in order to fund those payments. So let's go through some highlights here and just kind of review what we know so far. So I'll start off with the what we're calling the EFMLA, or the as some people call the FMLA Plus. For most of you, if you have fewer than 50 employees, this does not apply to you. And the FMLA generally does not apply to you. You have to have at least a minimum of 50 employees in order for this federal law to apply. And there's a California version that applies also, but that's not the case. So when the Congress wrote this, this now applies to employers with less than 500 employees. So you have one employee, this special law will apply to you, but it has a very narrow offer, and that is it applies to employees who aren't able to work or to telework because they have a child whose school is closed, or the child care provider is not available because of coronavirus. So I think we've all heard about the schools being closed. I heard earlier that I think in the Eureka school district there, and I haven't heard about Sacramento yet, but they've extended that till early May for the closure. Many people are guessing that it might be next fall before schools open again. So this piece of this act will allow employees to receive partial payment for basically up to 12 weeks. This law speaks to 10 weeks of that. Unlike the big FMLA law, this one you only have had to have worked for your employer for 30 days. Under the other law, you have to have worked for a year. There's no minimum time. This could be a temporary employee. It could be a part-time employee, but it allows an employee up to 12 weeks of protected time off. And protected means that the employee must be guaranteed reinstatement to their same or a similar position at the end of this leave. Now, for this leave specifically, the first 2 weeks are unpaid. They can receive pay through the paid sick leave that Stacy's going to tell you about in a minute. But the first 2 weeks are unpaid under this law. And then weeks 3 through 12 are paid at 2/3 of the employee's regular rate of pay, up to $200 a day. And so it's a maximum of, $5,000. That an employee could receive. Is that right, Stacey? $10,000. It says right there, 10K. Maximum of 10,000 that the employee could receive.
Can I ask you a question on this? So you have this business that is potentially in a severe decline, and now you have, let's call it 10 employees. And so you have your workers go out on FMLA. When they come back, you're half the size, but you've got to reinstate them in the same position?
Well, not always. So if you have less than 50 employees, there might be an exception that you can get from the Department of Labor to say, this would seriously impact the viability of our business to offer this, so we cannot offer it. If the job is no longer there, then you don't have to reinstate. Okay. So it does give you some opportunities. If you have less than 25 employees, this is just craziness, but as an aside, you have less than 25 employees and you cannot offer them a job when their leave is up. You can end their employment, but for a year after that, if you fill that job, you have to go to them. They're on a wait list, so to speak. And so they have the opportunity as basically first right of refusal. So that's the what we're calling the EFMLA or FMLA plus. None of the other provisions of the Family Medical Leave Act apply. This does not apply to large employers with 500 or more employees, but probably most of the people who are in this audience today will be impacted by this because you have people with kids and their kids don't have childcare or their childcare provider has coronavirus. Okay? All right, Stacy. And we realize these are eye charts, but, you know, we just wanted to put everything out there and it's not the way we would normally present.
Yeah, so the next section under this new legislation is the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act. And I'm going to give you some highlights. And again, if you have questions and if there's time, we'll be happy to answer the questions. So the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act applies again to employers with less than 500 employees. So if you have one employee, the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act will apply to you. And there's six reasons why an employee could request time off paid by the employer under the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act. And the six reasons are one through six on the screen. The first one, the employee is subject to the federal, state, local quarantine. The second one, the employee has been advised to self-quarantine. Third is the employee is experiencing symptoms and is seeking medical diagnosis. So the first three are important to think about in one bucket. The second three, the employee is caring for an individual who's in the one through three category. Five, the employee is caring for a son or daughter who is unable to attend school or whose childcare is closed. And this is the same as in the Family Medical Leave Act. So number five, and then number six, the employee is experiencing symptoms of any other substantially similar condition as specified by the Secretary of Health and Human Services with the Secretary of Treasury and Secretary of Labor. So think about those six reasons in two different buckets, and I'll explain a little bit more about that. This applies, which is different from the emergency FMLA, is this applies on day one. So anybody who has employees, if you have one employee, this is available to them starting April the 1st. It provides full-time employees 80 hours of employer-paid leave if the employee is unable to work or telework for the reasons stated above. For part-time employees, it's an average of the hours that the employee has worked, and it's stated in the bill. It's a calculation. The pay, now let's get to the pay portion if the employee requests time off because they're unable to work or telework. So the pay part, for reasons one through three above, the employee would receive 100% of their pay. If the reasons why the employee is unable to work or telework are for reasons three through five, they receive two-thirds of the employee's regular rate of pay. And there is caps on both of those for high wage earners. This isn't on the slide, but at no time can it be less than the minimum wage. Okay, so there might be some calculations that need to be done there. And again, with the emergency paid sick leave, there is some possible exemptions or exceptions for the smaller employer, the employer with less than 50 employees. So,
Stacy, what if you don't have any employees except yourself? Can you put yourself on that program? Oh, I guess you're paying yourself anyway. Yeah, that would make sense.
So it's one employee. When you look at the website, unemployment is there's some unemployment available for some right. Self-employed. This is for people on payroll. Right. So if you have one person on payroll, it would apply.
Stacy, let me just jump in here. I didn't catch, this is my error on the pay. Reasons 1, 2, and 3 are paid at 100%. Reasons 4, 5, and 6 are paid at 2/3.
Oh. Oops.
My error.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, the employee's regular rate of pay, it's not for a non-exempt employee, and a non-exempt employee is someone who's paid hourly. The employee who's paid hourly, you need to calculate what their regular rate of pay is and then figure out what the reason is that they're going to be off, and then either pay them at the 100% or the 2/3 of their regular rate of pay. So again, this is starting day one. So effective April 1st, you could have employees that essentially are requesting time off for any of those top 6 reasons. Okay, Kim, should we go to the next slide? So the good news is there is some tax credits. There's some information available, and we've given you the link to the press release from the Department of Labor. And how the tax credits will work, or how it says they'll work, is that the employer is going to pay the employee for the time off that they've requested under the Employer Paid Sick Leave or Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act, or the emergency FMLA, and the employee-er will pay the employee. They will document that that's been paid. And then when the employer is in to pay their payroll taxes, they will have a tax credit. So as you can see there on the screen, the tax credit would be taken when you are paying your taxes. And for example, when you withhold federal income taxes from your employee, or the employee's share of Social Security or Medicare, or the employer's share of Social Security and Medicare, if that amount, say for example, is $8,000, and you've paid an employee paid sick leave, emergency paid sick leave, or emergency FMLA $5,000, then your taxes that you would pay for the quarter or the month or however you pay your payroll taxes, you would pay $3,000, or that's what the press release says. So again, we're not tax professionals. We always recommend you consult with your CPA. The press release will go into more information. There's the link for the press release. There is some really good information there. So I do recommend that you reach out, or that you click on those links and go to the Department of Labor. There's a lot of great resources. The next slide will show you, we'll have some additional resources. So initially you will have to put up the money for the employee who is requesting time off for the emergency paid sick leave or the emergency FMLA expansion. So you will put that money out to the employee first, and then you'll get it back in a tax credit. Okay, next slide.
Let me, before I do that, let me just make a comment on this. So the Department of Treasury is, I'm sure, working madly to come up with the criteria and how these transactions will be done. But the billing on this is that it will be done immediately, in terms of the employer will not have to pass on the employee's portion of their federal income taxes, the employee's portion of their FICA and Medicare taxes, or the employer's match on the Social Security and Medicare taxes. That's a lot. Initially, I thought it would just be the employer's match, but they're also allowing the employer to retain those other taxes. So it won't even go out of your bank account, is my understanding. If you pay the employees, say, and this only goes for employees who actually use the EPSL or the EFMLA wage replacement, but if you paid $5,000 in that, and the taxes, or excuse me, if you paid $8,000 and the taxes were more than that, then the Department of Treasury is saying their plan is to get you the additional money you've paid out within 2 weeks. Who knows? But they're working madly. We really recommend that when you set up your payroll for the pay period that begins April 1st, that you have pay codes set in your payroll system to set aside specifically designating this emergency paid sick leave or the emergency family medical leave, because you will have to prove eventually down the road what hours and how much time and money was spent toward those additional wage replacements. So I'm hoping the big payroll organizations already are on this. Certainly I can, you know, I use Intuit and I can, through QuickBooks, just create another pay code. So it's pretty easy. It should be easy to do.
Hey, Kim, this is Rick. Real quick, we got a question. I think it's timely on this slide. You know, there's a lot of, on the personal tax and personal income side, you know, deferments and delays of filing taxes. Obviously, this is a credit, you know, based on payroll taxes already paid. Have you seen anything about, you know, being able to reduce payroll taxes or defer taxes in the interim?
Well, this in the interim, this before April 1st interim? No. Right.
Either before or after?
No. I have not seen anything about that. This is really only, you know, for EPSL, it's only 80 hours for full-timers and a part-timer's regular hours worked. And it runs from April 1st until December 31st. So, you know, the EFMLA, you can have for up to 10 weeks, but it won't go on and on. And it's really frustrating for people. I had a CPA firm email me yesterday and say, could you give us some insights on how this will be done? I'm like, I don't know. I'm referring people to you. So we're all on standby on this. And it may not be a problem until you have to actually process the payroll that begins on April 1st. The other piece of this is that the feds have said, look, we're going to give you 30 days to get these laws in place and underway. So as long as you're using them in good faith, in the meantime, we're not going to come in heavy-handed and, you know, sue you or fine you, whatever, because you haven't done them correctly, which is really good since we're all kind of guessing at this point. Okay, Stace.
Okay, so on this slide, we have some really great resources. I recommend you take a picture of the slide or somehow write down these, or since this is going to be recorded, you can look at these websites later. But the Department of Labor has some really great fact sheets for employees and employers. I especially like the FAQs. The FAQs, that will answer many, many questions that you might have. Some of the FAQs don't have answers at the current moment, but I'm sure there will be some, I hope there will be some answers in the future. The FFCRA poster, that must be posted. So anywhere that you have your other labor law posters, click on that link and print out that poster and post it next to your labor law posters. On that site is also an FAQ on what to do, you know, how to post the poster and how to get it to employees that might be teleworking at this time. Because even employees that are teleworking need to have their employment posters. So the last link there is to the California Labor and Workforce Development Agency, which is another great resource for you. And at that link, you'll be able to see what's on a couple slides from now, which talks about the SDI, unemployment benefits, paid family leave insurance, and when employees can select those. There's a nice table. We're going to show it on a couple slides from now, but that's a really great resource for us here in California.
Let me talk just a minute here about a couple of terms that are being thrown around, and I have recently adjusted my definition of these. We're hearing lots of people talk about, is an employee being furloughed or are they being laid off? And there are no legal definitions for these, and they have many uses. I often hear people say, I was laid off, and that could mean they didn't have a schedule for the next week. It could mean they were fired for cause and they're just telling their mom they were laid off because they don't want to use another word. It could be for business reasons or reduction in force. So again, these are not legal terms, but let's just clarify them for how we're going to use them. A layoff usually is indicating the employment is terminated. The employee's been separated from employment. And we're seeing a lot of that. I will tell you, we're seeing certainly, you know, I talked to a car dealership in town 20 minutes before I got on this call. And they are terminating 100 employees, and tomorrow they will lay off 200. And car dealerships need a lot of employees. I mean, this is a big dealership in town. It is breaking their heart to do that, but they know that there is no end in sight for the 100 that they're laying off, and they're just going to let them go. They can go file for unemployment. We have some clients who are laying off, i.e. terminating employees now, because they don't want to take the chance that they would have to pay out the EPSL or the EFMLA leaves and wage replacements we just talked about. And you want to be really careful about terminating people. The closer we get to April 1st and people get laid off, it may look like an employer is doing that in order to avoid giving the employees the opportunity to, you know, collect under that act. So our legal counsel has advised, if you don't see an end in sight and you need to just cut them out, then you should do that sooner rather than later. Don't wait until April 1st to do that in order to avoid that payment. You may find yourself in another world of hurt around some sort of unlawful termination. A furlough often uses an alternative to laying off or terminating an employee. So they're placed on an unpaid leave. They're still on your books as an employee, but they're not on the schedule. And so it could have a certain return date, or it might be indefinite. There are some tricks in the California law that require that if you have an indefinite furlough date, then you need to pay them out just as if they were being terminated. You need to pay their vacation pay out on the date you furlough them. So if you can set a certain return date and it's within the pay period, you don't have to pay out the vacation accrued that they already have. But if it's longer than that period, you should just pay them out. You're not terminating them still, but they're on a furlough. So furlough, temporary, may or may not have an end date. Layoff, we're going to use as a termination. Stacey, you want to talk about this chart?
So this was the chart that I was referencing earlier. These are the possible benefits that employees may take advantage of, and the why, what, and what the benefit is for the employee. Obviously, if you've terminated an employee, they will be eligible for unemployment insurance. If someone is unable to work because of they are under an illness related to the COVID-19, it's disability insurance. If I'm caring for a family member because of a COVID-19 related reason, it will likely be paid family leave insurance. Now, employees are eligible also to use their California paid sick leave if they are ill or sick for a COVID reason or for any other reason or for preventative care when civil authority recommends quarantine. So in California, we have California paid sick leave, and keep in mind the California paid sick leave is in addition to the emergency paid sick leave under the feds. So the employees have both. And so that's the paid sick leave. Workers' compensation, if an employee, I guess if they caught the COVID-19 during work hours and they're able to prove that, then they could file for workers' compensation. But these are some benefits for workers. If you go to that that website that we had up a few slides ago. This table is there. It's a really helpful table, and you can click on some of the other areas of the table.
Yeah, and my hat's off to the state. They have gotten really flexible really quickly on these leaves around coronavirus. Typically you would not be able to file for unemployment. They've waived the 1 week waiting period, the paid family leave, the disability leave. The governor has really acted quickly on that. So there are lots of opportunities for people who are sick or are unemployed because of coronavirus to collect on those.
I can imagine this really being hard on workers' comp rates going forward, because the coronavirus is going to be around for a while, even though we're back at it. And people just, it's just always going to be there. Oh, I got sick at work.
Yeah, I think, it might be hard unless you're in healthcare. We have a number of clients who suddenly have said, we want to take people's temperatures when they arrive, either employees or our customers, our patients, our clients. And the EEOC in the last 10 days or so has come out and said, yes, we'll allow that. I mean, normally you would not be able to do any sort of invasive medical approach with any employee. But they've said, okay, you can do that. I have to tell you, I am really, really goosey about that. There are lots of things to consider, including who will be taking people's temperatures, what will their exposure be, at what temperature do you determine somebody cannot enter the building. People can take medication that will keep their temperature down. There are HIPAA violations. There's also the California Credit Rights Act, the new act that came out about and not being able to get people's personal information. So now you're gathering that, so you have to give them a release for that. So, I'm not sure it's worth it. And I'd certainly get legal counsel before I started taking temperatures, but we have a couple clients tomorrow morning who are adamant they're going to do it.
We have clients in one of our companies. We sell surveillance equipment, thermal imaging cameras that can detect heat. So they have got our cameras positioned to alert when it's too hot.
Interesting.
You mentioned, Kim, healthcare workers being obvious risk of workers' compensation claims. What about, grocery stores, restaurants, these are now kind of being put into those essential services bucket. And so, a Costco worker, who is now an essential worker to keep grocery supply chains going, and they're exposed, and Costco's still letting, customers into the warehouse. Do you see a path there for a workers' compensation claim?
There could be, but you have to be able to show a direct connection between work and exposure. And people have lives outside of work, and so I think it would be hard to do that. I'm sure some people will try to do it, but you can stop at McDonald's on the way home and get it from the person passing on the food to you. So,
yeah, there was a question for unemployment that has now been extended to self-employed or sole proprietors. Is that correct?
I believe so. And it's also been, Stacy, correct me, I think it's also been extended like 6 more months by the feds.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So all of these, wage replacements and helping people out and, whether it's additional unemployment. And we saw this during the downturn with the Great Recession for many years after that. I paid additional taxes because California was overextended on our unemployment insurance payouts. And so, I would suggest that, we're all going to be paying this for a very long time. And so it is a wide swath of impact, whether you're ill or whether you're not, we're all going to be paying for this.
Yeah. Another question just came in, and obviously hot off the presses, the stimulus bill. But what are you seeing with clients as far as pay reductions versus furloughs and layoffs, and you know how they're making those decisions, and you know how they're coordinating?
Stacey, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So we have had some clients say we're going to do pay cuts across the board. Obviously, if you one thing to keep in mind, if you are reducing the pay of an exempt employee, and just a reminder, an exempt employee is someone who's on salary. And if you're going to reduce an exempt employee's salary, you need to ensure that you're not taking it below the 2x minimum wage. But you can change the terms and conditions of employment. You can do that in these times. And that was something that we saw in the economic downturn of 2007 and 2008. I saw it a lot. So it is something that we see people doing. In regards to the stimulus packet, we're not prepared to answer anything on that. And I'm not sure what stage it's in at this moment, but we're not prepared to answer questions on the stimulus packet at this time.
But you guys might have some insights.
Do we share. We are in discovery mode. So yeah, I think we do. We're reviewing the stimulus. I don't even know if it's cleared yet, but we're reviewing it right now. We have literature on that. So we're trying to digest it as you are. We will be covering that at one of the future shows. Somebody else had a question about unemployment. For somebody who's self-employed, there's really nothing here on that in any of the packages to handle somebody who's self-employed.
Oh yes, there is. The law speaks to self-employed on both leaves. And I won't have the details on those because we don't deal with people who are self-employed, but yes, there is some relief in both cases. So if you're a sole proprietor,
because we have a lot of those people in our world. So, I mean, there's a high percentage of self-employed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there will be some relief there.
From which program?
From the Act, the FFRCA, we just talked about, from the FFICRA. it does speak to that in under both of those laws.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, why don't we run through quickly some of the mistakes we've seen. Now, I've been through a couple of centuries of downturns. Stacy's only been through one century of downturns. So we just kind of made a list of the things we see, and let me pull up the slide here and we'll go through those. And these are not about the fiscal pieces or you know what you do with real estate or whatever. These are from the humanity side of it. So the first one, making promises in the dark, and I've already seen this happen. You know, some employers just get panicked and offer people extra paid sick leave. I mean, I have an employer right now who offered people paid sick leave beyond the 3 days that is mandated by the state of California for 2 weeks. And then the employer says, oh, wait, there's this federal law. So what I've offered my people already in the 2 weeks will count towards that federal law. And I said, no, there's no retroactivity on the new emergency paid sick leave. So what you've already paid out, you won't get tax credit on. And they could have up to 10 days of emergency paid sick leave that you could get tax credit on, but you're going to pay it out. So I think, you know, making those promises in the dark without recognizing, without having CNBC on in the background or whatever you have on there, Mark, and not knowing what's in the works, what's coming.
Can't block it.
We have had... this is Kim ranting here, but we send out a list of frequently asked questions to our clients, and we're doing it every week. And in the next week, we'll probably do three of them, of just the things we just keep hearing from clients. So let us share with you what other people are going through and what our answers are. So I send them out every week. I should know by now, not everyone reads what I send out. But yesterday I sent out the what the Department of Labor offered on the summary and the posting. And I had a client, large client, who emailed me and said, "What? This is paid time off? Are you kidding me?" And I was, you got to come out of the darkness here and know what's going on. So, you know, beware of just making those offers, giving people stay put offers or big severance packages right now, because you don't know what's coming down the path. Probably a big one, and I think I hear this talked about every time I watch this podcast, is the internal and the external communication gets out of whack. Either I'm spending so much time trying to keep my clients happy and keep them informed and keep them engaged and paying me that I'm not paying attention to my employees, or I'm so busy doing the caretaking of my employees, I'm not doing the caretaking of my clients. Mark, I know you know Jeremiah Miller. I adore Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had a great podcast this week and said, you know, you need to out-service your competition with your clients at this time. And so I think it's obviously always really important to over-communicate. Apparently with that client who said to me after 16 emails I've sent about this, "What, this is paid leave?" I just need to keep that message. And with my staff, you know, I have a staff of really, really highly skilled, smart consultants and support staff. And so I am telling them frequently, you know, here's where we stand as Silver's HR in terms of our fiscal stability. We're quite solvent, and I want you to feel comfortable about that. I don't want you distracted with, can Kim make payroll next week? I want to make sure that you're confident that we're an ongoing organization, or I need to say, look, we need to go look at things and switch them up, and maybe you won't be working as much, and let's talk about that. So anyway, you need a balance of internal and external. Stacey, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, so the next one that we selected was ignorance of separation practices and regulations. And this really goes into wage and hour and being compliant with your practices. Most importantly, if you find that you need to lay off, i.e. terminate employees, ensuring that you're paying out the final pay, all the final wages, all the final accrued vacation, PTO, whatever it is that you have, because every day an employee has to wait for their final wages, you're going to pay one day of waiting time penalties if that employee goes to the Department of Labor and files a claim. So the ignorance of separation practices and regulations really have to do with ensuring that you know technically what needs to happen. And if you don't know what technically needs to happen, ensure that you're reaching out to someone who can share that information with you. The next one we have is our Cancun focus as the chief data analyzer. And this is really about ensuring that you have a community around you that can provide advice and like Kim said earlier, not just taking your information off of the news media on your television behind you, but getting other people involved and ensuring that you have consultants and peers that are there to help you, so that you're not operating in a silo all by yourself. You have some other people that help you make those decisions.
All right, and the next one is similar to that. The old saying, "It's lonely at the top," is true, absolutely. And so I find that when the CEO is doing all that thinking on their own, they don't have partners, whether those are personal partners or business partners, they don't have a coach, they don't have something like EO or I'm Invistage, some sort of peer group, they're not calling subject matter experts to get thoughts. I think that is really, really frightening. And it becomes more frightening when you're in a crisis. It's already bad news bears if you're not in a crisis, but living on that island without partners around you is not a good piece.
The next one we have is, what's a continuity plan? And with this one is, do you have a plan? And most of those we're finding, you know, maybe we didn't have a plan 3 weeks ago and we're having to make things up on the fly. And hopefully in the future, when things come up similar to what we're experiencing today, we'll have some sort of a plan, a list of what we need and what are the resources. One of our partners, our legal partners, sent us a resources for a continuity plan. Is that what they called it, Kim?
Yes, coronavirus continuity plan.
Coronavirus continuity plan. And ensuring that you have a plan in place for things like this in the future, should they come up.
The next one is up to us.
You're breaking up a little bit, Kim.
Pardon me?
You're breaking up. Sorry, you were breaking up. Could you start that over?
So hoarding on our list is not about toilet paper, although that is the most often used word I see these days on Facebook. It's about hoarding my talents, hoarding my resources in times like this, hoarding the gifts I have, and not sharing those outside. I think it's really important to be open and to be offering outside of not just my own family, my work family, but outside of my community. You know, Mark, I mean, you're creating this COVID fund for young entrepreneurs who are struggling on this. And so it's a time to look outside and see how we can share what our plans are, to look at new opportunities and not just think about hunkering down.
So letting your temple crumble, and by temple we mean ensuring that you take care of yourself, taking care of your body and sticking to some sort of schedule. We will get on the other side of this. And ensuring in that process you've taken care of yourself, whether it's exercising every day, eating right. Kim asked us, I think on Monday, she asked us when we were all on a teleconference, what are you all wearing? And, you know, we had to, you know, share what we were wearing. And one of the things that I think...
Rick asked me that once in a while, too. I don't know what that's about.
That was before the harassment training.
Oh, that's right. So ensuring that you stick to a schedule and you get enough sleep every night and you get the exercise and you're continuing to eat right. I know we're all being at home and the refrigerator's just on the other side of the wall that I'm sitting at. And, you know, I might go there a little bit more often than I normally do, but ensuring that we take care of ourselves, because if you're not taking care of yourself, how good are you going to be for your employees? How good are you going to be in that crisis? So ensuring that you take care of yourself.
Yeah, and Stacy and I talked about this. I won't go into detail, but you know, your body is a temple. And when I was a young manager in my 20s and 30s, I could leverage this a long time. And I could go on very little sleep, and I could eat a whole lot of sugar and drink a whole lot of rum and Diet Coke, and it didn't show up. As the decades have worn on, certainly by my 40s, I could start to see that it would show up to me sooner. And then, you know, it shows up to everybody else. So I really have to take care of myself so I can take care of others. And Mark, I know you live that.
Well, the one thing that is difficult right now, I found myself waking up in the middle of the night more often, and we need sleep too. My workout's gotten a little messed up because the gyms are closed. I've had to create new routines, but I think one of the things for making the right decisions and being at our very best at this time of crisis, we got to get sleep.
Yes. Yeah. Number nine, we're almost done here. Failing to recognize everyone as a potential customer. And, you know, there's a large consulting firm, an international consulting firm. And when people leave their firm, they have created basically a reunion of ex-employees, because they recognize that once those people leave the organization, doesn't necessarily mean that they leave the potential to be a customer or client down the road, wherever they're going next. And so I think about this in terms of whether it's how I'm giving people bad news, it's how I'm treating my clients right now, how I'm treating potential clients or people I don't even know who are clients. You know, the good news and the bad news is my name is on the front door of my business. So when I pull out my credit card, Katina Rapton said this to me one day, I want to make sure when I go to a restaurant and I pull out my credit card to pay for dinner, that somebody doesn't roll their eyes. I want them to feel good that, you know, I'm well behaved in this setting. Those are my words, not Katina's. But, you know, I think it's important to recognize whether you're interviewing somebody, whether you're laying them off, whether you're passing them in the grocery store, everybody's a potential customer down the road, and treating them with respect. And as I've heard on this webcast a few times now, how you treat people now, they will remember a long time from now in this crisis. And then number 10, decisions absent values. You know, for many of us, we spend a lot of time and sometimes consulting money to create mission, vision, values. And, you know, we've got them posted in special places and on. But in times like these, we are going to make some tough decisions, some really important decisions. And I find when organizations go back and test those to the values they have stated, they tend to be much more sustainable. They tend to be a mirror of what that organization's values are and what they want the culture to be now and going forward. So I think that it's a great measurement stick to use. And I really encourage people, when you're making those decisions, don't make them on the fly. Take a little time and go back and weigh those with your values. And those are all the mistakes we've seen.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I was calculating in my mind how much toilet paper I have left at home. So, so thank you very much for sharing this. I think we probably have a few questions. Rick, I don't know if you have any follow-up questions or if there's anything else lingering from our audience.
There's only one last question we haven't asked, or answered, I should say, and then we'll finish up here. You know, AB5, and that's a whole other webinar. So just the 10-second response, but do you see, I mean, I've seen independent contractors like Uber drivers included in unemployment and those things. Any kind of just high level observations about how AB5 may or may not be affected from this crisis?
I read something last week. Somebody asked the same question, what's happening? And the answer was AB5 is on the back burner. People are so focused on coronavirus, nothing is happening.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I guess I don't know that I have any follow-up questions other than any thoughts around decision-making. We all know there's this stimulus coming. So you're a company that's short on cash, and you've got this stimulus coming that might get it so you can apply for a loan. And maybe even have it turn into something that's forgiven. Just thoughts around staying composed around decisions, because these are the decisions that get made. This is why the entrepreneur, you know, has stress, is making these decisions that could actually end their existence in their business.
You know, I think it's back to the hoarding of, you know, not not just hunkering down, but to look at, are there new opportunities? When the government is giving us an incredible opportunity in some cases to reinvent ourselves or to, you know, pull ourselves out of the quicksand. And so I think it's a great time to go look at those seriously. I think you certainly want to have either your CPA or your CFO or, you know, your attorney thinking out loud with you about that, as well as your private board of directors. But I think they've given us a gift here. I don't know much about it, but I think there's a sincere effort to make this better.
Well, I really appreciate Stacy and Kim for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and for helping the entrepreneurial community, the small business community, medium-sized business community. I mean, we are in that area where we're making some of the bigger decisions of our business. And so we need people like you in our lives at this time. So thank you very much. Rick, I don't know if you have any closing thoughts.
Yeah, just thank you so much, Stacy and Kim. You know, this information was both practical, but there was a human element too. So you just balanced it, I think, really well. So really appreciate the effort and time and the continued support of our community. So thank you so much. For the attendees, like I mentioned earlier, this is recorded. So we'll launch it through our podcast channels and our YouTube channels. We'll be back tomorrow. With Stoll Reeves, who will be talking about force majeure and you know, some of the considerations with your legal contracts and responsibilities. And we had a great one yesterday from Capital Rivers Commercial about a tenant survivor guide, which talked about force majeure. So all these things are coming together. Thanks to the broader Haney Biz team for pulling all this together. We also just yesterday launched a crisis action plan program. So we're putting our money where our town is, as Mark likes to say, and we're offering our services with our expert CFO and executive coaching teams to help dig into the financials and the business reviews that companies need to help save their companies now. All the proceeds of that program will go to charity, the Donate for Sacramento effort, which is all going towards saving small businesses. So keep an eye out for that, or email me, Rick@HaneyBiz, if you're interested in more information on that program. Otherwise, again, thanks, Stacy. Thanks, Kim. We'll be back here at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and goodbye for now.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.